Thank you for joining us this morning for the Central Message, brought to you by Central Park Church of Christ in Tilton, where we are transformed by Christ to transform our world. If you would like to listen to this message again or previous messages, as well as the Central Minutes, you can listen to them on our website, www.centralparkchurchofchrist.org. And now, the Central Message.
So today we begin a new series. Today we begin talking about Christmas. How many Sundays do we have until Christmas? Including today. Six. Yeah, it's that close. How many of you have everything ready? No? How many of you have all of your decorations put up? No? How many of you absolutely refuse to talk about anything with Christmas until after Thanksgiving? Okay, several of you. Well, you can just tune the rest of this out because you're not going to pay attention. Okay. So we're going to start a series called The Adjectives of Christmas, and today we're going to be talking about joy. But, I mean, you have to think about the adjectives and the positive words for Christmas. And you have joy, we have family, we have hope, or hopefulness, or joy, joyous, or rejoice. We have festiveness, we have love, or lovely, we have feast and happiness. And we're going to be working through each one of those at the appropriate Sunday, and we're going to wrap this up December 1st. It's going to carry us all the way into the new year, and we're going to talk about happiness on that last day, because I think there is not one person on the planet that will not be happy to see 2020 disappear. Right? Yeah, get into the books of 2020. So these words all represent this very special time for us. It's time around Christmas that we celebrate the Lord's coming into the world. And we celebrate and honor that as Christians. So today, as we begin this conversation on how to celebrate Christmas in the year 2020, I want us to focus not so much on COVID or election, or hate, or rage, or frustrations, or fears, or finances, or life as a mess. But I want us in these next 8 weeks to truly focus in on joy, and family, and hope, and rejoicing together, and being in a festive mood, and expressing love, and receiving that, and eating together, and feasting together, and finding happiness. So, let's start today by bringing joy back to your life. I think that's what we have lost in the year 2020. And usually, how many of you know those joy suckers of life? Right? I know this one guy, and he is the ultimate joy sucker in life. He will just suck all of the joy out of any situation. I mean, you could be holding puppies, sliding down a rainbow to a pot of gold, and he would complain about the color of the rainbow and that he's allergic to puppies. Okay? I mean, think about it. We have those people in our lives that just do that to us. Sometimes also we have things in our life that just do that to us. You ever done something begrudgingly? Or you really didn't want to do it, but you knew that you had to do it? Did you go into it joyous? No. No. What about maybe you're just all taxed out? You ever heard that? I'm worn out. All the joy's gone in life. And I hear that quite often. So today, as we talk about joy, I want to start with this very first premise. Maybe you're here today and you have lost your joy. Maybe you're here today and like James chapter 1 verse 2 actually says this, consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds. Now, the ESV version that I use says, count it all joy when. Now, the interesting word there is whenever or when. It doesn't say, consider it pure joy if trials come along. It says, when trials come along. All of these problems are going to exist in your life. You're going to have various kinds of joy suckers in life. You have people, you have holidays, and maybe you're here today, and I want to reaffirm this for you. Maybe you're here today and you've lost all the joy out of a holiday because of a loss of a loved one or an experience that has happened to you during the holidays. And I want to encourage you to express that to God and give that to Him. He can handle that. He can work with you through those moments of pain and difficulty to maybe bring about some joy in your life. Maybe also it's not just about people or holidays, but it's about lack of things. How many of you expected that at this moment in your life you would be a millionaire? No? Okay. What's the best way to test your faith? You ever thought about that? What is the best way to test your faith?
Live.
Absolutely. And to live with joy. Because if you have joy, you're going to face those trials of many kinds. And it's a testing of your faith. Because joy is going to bring about problems. But here's the key. If you read on in that verse, at the end of 2, he says, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. Steadfastness. Listen, he also goes on and says, if you have joy, it's going to produce a faith in you. It's going to test your faith. It's going to produce steadfastness and have a full effect on you. And what's going to be the result? He says, if you're living a life of joy, you're going to have steadfastness in your life. You're going to be testing your faith, and this is going to happen to you. Your life, your faith will be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. That's the amazing testimony to joy in your life. And what do we do? We allow elections to steal our joy. We allow joy suckers to steal and rob our joy. We allow problems and people and strife to steal our joy, and we don't remain steadfast in the faith. What are we doing as Christians to remain steadfast in our joy? Are you holding on to it? Is there a sliver, just a little glimpse of hope for you in the future to have this joy restored to your life? Maybe that's what we're looking for today. Because what he challenges us to do is to gain that joy that he provided for us. To have that joy, even though we're going to face problems. Even though we're going to struggle in life, even though we're going to face challenges of people and stuff every day of our life. And he challenges us to find that because it leads to a perfect and complete faith that says we are not lacking in anything. You ever seen how a smile is contagious? Well, not now because everybody's wearing masks. You can't tell if they're smiling or growling at you anymore, right? And you can't shake hands anymore. That was always a good indicator, right? You could tell what someone was thinking just by looking. Can't do that anymore. So here's the reality check. We live in a world that seeks to steal your joy. And that's the second thing I want you to know. Maybe your joy has been lost, but secondly, has your joy been stolen? I always remember the phrase, nothing is going to steal my joy. I'm going to hold on to it. I'm going to keep it. I'm going to try and fight for it. But here's what we need to do. to keep your joy from being stolen from you. And I have learned these from the years of being someone who has quite often allowed other people to steal my joy. I mean, that's just reality. I remember going to the principal in the fourth grade, and yeah, I remember it. And in the fifth grade, and in the sixth grade, and okay, yeah, I didn't really learn my lesson very well, but I remember going to the principal, and he would tell me all these animal stories about goats, and the ultimate lesson was, don't let people get your goat. And I'm like, I don't have a goat. I never realized what he was saying until later on in life. It was about joy and getting wrapped up in all of the stuff that other people want to throw at you. And here's how you do it. The very first one is stop right now. Stop comparing yourself to others. Stop measuring your faith by others' faith. Stop measuring yourself and comparing yourself to what others have or do not have. Stop comparing yourself to all of that. Comparison does this. Comparison leads to what? Envy. And both comparison and envy are thieves of joy. You want to lose your joy? Compare yourself to others. That's the fastest way to do it. And we see it all the time. Secondly, don't let little problems steal your joy. This is mine. I own this one. Jan will testify, and she could preach for years on this, because I let the littlest things steal my joy daily. I remember going into Casey's. Okay, you ever been into a Casey's? Who hasn't, right? Okay. Pick your favorite convenience store. You walk in, it's your start of your day, and what is the one thing you want to buy at the start of your day? Coffee, okay? So I walk into Casey's, and I grab my cup, and I'm looking, and all of a sudden, I notice the one thing that could steal my joy. All of the red lights were on the coffee pots. Every one of them. Now, how does a normal human being allow that to happen? Okay. How do you run out of coffee in all of those coffee pots at one time? That ruined my night. I mean, it just went from that on to the next problem, the next thing, the next issue, and it was a horrible shift. It was horrible. All because I allowed that little problem to steal one little ounce of joy from my life. Could I have gone to the next gas station and got coffee? Yes, but it's not the same. It's not. So you understand where I'm going with this. Do not let the little problems of life steal your joy. So we have Thanksgiving coming up, and I know that there is no way for us to keep you from gathering with your families during COVID. It's going to happen, right? How many of you have family over, and all of a sudden the house becomes this natural disaster zone? Right? You have grandkids tearing out the toy bucket stuff, throwing it all over the floor, and you got food you're trying to cook. You got all of these little problems, and then all of a sudden the dishes start piling up. You know what my pet peeve is? Dishes in a sink. That's a pet peeve for me. I don't know why. It just is. And so that stresses me out. The family's stressed out over the food. The kids are arguing and fighting and kicking and screaming. And we try and throw them out the door and lock the door before they make it back in. And they always make it back in somehow. Trust me, you're going to have a stressful time coming up. But here's the reality. Instead of worrying about all of the stress, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to leave all those dishes in the sink for someone else to worry about. I'm going to leave all of that alone this year. And I'm going to sit and enjoy my family. Because we have been so blessed. We have this opportunity to stop letting those little problems of our life steal the joy away from us in those moments. Third, you will create what you focus on. You will create what you focus on. If you focus on your shortcomings and your failures, you're going to create that. If you focus on your problems, you're going to accentuate that. If you focus on the lack of stuff, you're going to accentuate that. Focus on what you want to create in your life. You may not be there yet, and that's okay. You're on this journey. It's a marathon, not a sprint. Slow down. Enjoy these moments of joy in your life and focus on the things that you want to create. Stop comparing yourself to others. Don't let little problems steal your joy, and you will create what you focus on. So what has our focus been on? And where have you been the past few months? And then evaluate, has your joy been stolen? Have you lost your joy? Or maybe you're like the third category here today. Maybe you're in this position where you've just been lacking joy. Your joyometer is failing. It's on empty. Maybe it's half full. Is it half full or half empty? Pessimist, optimist? Which one are you? Has your joy been lacking? Look at John 15, verse 11. I told you this so my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. I like to think of this as the opportunity for us to read that very last word. And it's actually different in a different version, but be full. Fill it up today. Is your shallow joy meter, is it half full, half empty? Fill it up today that your joy may be full. And the way that we do that is we simply abide in His love. Because if you keep going, He talks about loving one another. He talks about that is how you refill your joyometer. It's simply loving each other. Do you love each other enough to live a life of joy for each other? John 15, 11. Then look at Romans 15, 13, because it talks about this. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, so you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Huh. What's he saying there? Very quickly, he's saying joy, peace, trust, and hope. All of those words are in that verse. Joy, peace, trust, and hope. Overflowing with power from the Holy Spirit. So how do we maintain that joy? How do we register if our joyometer is running a little bit low? How do we do that? It's by gauging the power of the Holy Spirit and engaging that power in our lives. That's how we do it. We abide in His love. We allow the Holy Spirit to work through us, and we find that joy once again. So as we wrap up this morning, I want you to understand something very powerful here. Maybe you're in one of those three categories. Maybe you're here today and you've lost your joy. Maybe you're here today and your joy has been stolen from you. Maybe you're here today and your joy is lacking today. I want you to read John 16, 24. Until now, you have not asked for anything in my name. Ask, you will receive, and this is the key, and your joy will be complete. Have you asked God to help you? To find joy? To find that peace? To find that hope? And to fill that trust in your life? Have you asked Christ to do that for you? Have you allowed Him to come into your life? And maybe this is the opportunity for you today to simply say, you know what, God? I'm here. I don't understand everything that's going on in my life, but I know that you do. And I know that you can restore that joy that I lost. Will you help me? Maybe you're here today and you've realized that your joy has been stolen from you by circumstances that may have been out of your control, and you're not living that full life of joy anymore, and that struggle is so much that you're just done with bearing that pain and that burden forever and ever. You're going to lay it down and you're going to say, Jesus, restore me to that joy. That one thing that robbed my joy so many years ago, remove it from me. By the power of the Holy Spirit, I'm going to walk forward in a life of joy from now on. Maybe you're here today or listening online and you're realizing that, you know what, 2020 has been the joy sucker ultimate. And maybe you're just realizing that this life of joy in your joyometer has been drained a little bit. How do you find that? How do you get that back? It's by allowing Christ to work in your life and change you. So the simple question today, like that verse said so eloquently, will you ask? Will you ask God to restore that joy that you once had? Help you find that joy that was stolen and refresh you and transform you? Will you ask today? Let's pray. Father God, we gather today simply recognizing your love for us. That as we approach this Christmas, Thanksgiving, New Year's season, we have so much to be thankful for. Father, forgive us when we compare ourselves to others. Forgive us when we focus on the wrong things. Forgive us when we take this joy that you have provided for us for granted and we fail. Forgive us, Father. Restore that joy in our lives. Allow us to have that hope, that peace, that trust in you. And we can move forward as a body of believers, as an individual who loves you first and foremost. And from this moment on, we choose to let nothing steal our joy. Father, thank you for your love. Thank you for your mercy. And it is in Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to our message today. If you have heard anything in this message that spoke to your heart, please don't let this moment pass. You can accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. This is an important decision, and I don't want an opportunity to pass for someone to come to God in need and to have all those needs met and sins forgiven. If you would like to accept Jesus into your heart today, you can do so right now. If you have chosen to follow Jesus today, it is important to be connected with fellow Christians in a real and personal way and to publicly profess your faith through baptism. If you don't have a church home, you are welcome to become part of the Central Park Church of Christ family. You may want to find a local congregation closer to your home. But whatever you do, Find a place where you can learn and be spiritually nourished and where you can serve others. If you would like to speak to a minister, please contact the minister of your local church or call Central Park Church of Christ to speak to one of our ministers. Call the church office at 217-446-8947 and leave a message. Thank you for listening to the Central Message.